This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Now, here's Glenn.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us this morning here on WWNC. Thanks for sharing your early morning with us. Hey, Forrest.
Yes.
If it were not for me, would you be out of bed by now?
Of course not. Of course not. I'd still be asleep.
Yeah.
Second week here, Glenn. How you feeling?
Feeling all right. At least I know we're not on TV. Last week I was a little confused about that. With all the monitors.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. There's 2, 3, 4, 5. Counting the computer monitors, there's about 10 monitors in here.
That's right. So as we cut this, I'll be watching TV, I guess. So anyway, last week in the studio with us, we had Larry Hartley from Strauss & Associates. Larry specializes in estate planning and Medicaid planning issues. And just in a shameless plug for my buddy Larry, you can reach him at 258-0994. His office is right around Central Avenue in downtown Asheville. So give him a call at 258-0994. This week we'll be doing no such thing. We'll be digging into the investor psyche to try to learn about some of the psychological traps that so often befuddle investors. If you happen to tune into Tech Ticker this week, I think it was Wednesday, there was a very interesting piece that was on the Tech Ticker that had, I think his name was Michael Mabuson or something like that. Anyway, he's a strategist for Legg Mason, and he wrote this book called Think Twice, Harnessing the Power of Intuition. So when he appeared this last Wednesday, he was discussing some of the mistakes that investors make. And his conclusion was that many of those mistakes really have nothing to do with lack of analysis or lack of investment smarts. It has really much more to do with faulty thinking. So he spoke about one particularly instructive test that a bunch of researchers put together. Here's what they did. This is hilarious. They took a bunch of normal people, and they took a bunch of brain-damaged people, people who could think logically, but in some capacity they were not able to feel greed or anger or emotional pain, you know, like a psychopath, I suppose. So they played a little game, and the game lasted 20 rounds, and basically what they did was they gave each person $20, and that person had an option to either give a dollar to a researcher during any particular round. They played 20 rounds. Or to put the dollar directly in his pocket. So what they found out was that the brain damaged people actually ended up making about 13% more money than the normal people, because here's what happened. In any given round, the brain damaged person would have a choice to give the dollar to the researcher. In exchange, the researcher would flip a coin, and if the coin came up heads, the researcher would give $2.50 back to the brain-damaged person, and that would be considered a win. If the coin came up tails, the researcher would simply keep the dollar, and the player would lose the money, would forfeit the money. So what they discovered was that the normal people, after they'd get hit with a few tails in a row, and they'd lose $2 or $3 in a row, their psyche became kind of dented, so to speak, and they would have a propensity to take the dollar and put it directly in their pocket. Now, if you think about what's going on there, the expected return on that transaction is $1.25, because if you have a 50% chance, assuming that the coin is fair, if you have a 50% chance of getting $2.50, your expected return on that is $1.25, half of that. The other return would be 50% of nothing, which is still nothing. But on any given flip of the coin, the return that would be expected to any player, whether brain damaged or not, would be $1.25. So the brain damaged people, when they went through their spate of losing, they continued to play right through that and kept betting every single dollar, giving it to the researcher. Whereas the more emotionally intact people, after they had been wounded a little bit, they kind of recoiled and put the money directly in their pocket. So in that capacity, the more emotionally intact people were getting their hats handed to them by the more brain-damaged people. So I think that's a fascinating study, because it has some import to how people actually invest in the real world. If you take a look at what typically happens during market downturns, you'll find that people, after taking it in the gut for a while, they start to pull away from the game. They take their money out of the market, and they miss the rebound. So if we look back, you know, just current events right now, if you look at the domestic equity market, what you're going to find is that on March 9th, they reached their lows pretty much uniformly. And since that time, equities have advanced somewhere around 55%. But when we talk to people, we very often find that they're not interested in investing because they're still emotionally wounded from what happened to them during the latter part of 2008 and the early part of 2009. However, had they been more brain damaged, as we try to be at our office, they would have kept playing, and they would have participated more fully in this 55% rebound. So, I guess the moral of the story there is that, you can call us at 232-2000 and speak with a brain damaged advisor who will try to keep you centered and on track. I suppose it could be that psychopaths make better investors. But really, the moral there is that logic is really the investor's best friend, and emotion is absolutely the enemy of logic. So anyway, if you get a chance to see that piece on Tech Ticker, you can probably Google it and pull it up. It's a fascinating study. So there have been a number of studies done with respect to investor psyche. Some of them more interesting than others. Another one that I think is particularly interesting is a study where they took people one by one and put them into a pitch black room. No light whatsoever. They had no idea where they were, had no idea how large the room was. being completely dark, there were, of course, no reference points for anything. So as far as that person would know, that person would be in the universe or a closet with no reference points. So what they would do is they'd shine two white lights on some wall that was of some distance away, some unknown distance. And what the researchers were interested in studying was how far the people in that room thought that that light was away. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little break here, and we're going to get to the conclusion of that study when we return from the break. So we'll be back in just a moment. Thanks very much for listening to WWNC with us this morning.